You are now listening to Poking the Bear.
And welcome back to Poking the Bear, the podcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Charlie Bowie.
I'm Ross.
Yeah!
Yeah. We got Ross Padgett here of Ross Padgett Comedy, of the Colbert Show, of what's your sketch group?
I don't even
sketch
have...
thing? You don't have a name for your sketch company? Is it at this point?
I don't know. Just make good shit. Make the
production
best stuff that
company?
You can.
.org / Ross.
Yeah. .gov, baby.
Cool.
Yeah, I wish it was .gov. That'd be cool to be having a government-funded entertainment job.
Right.
You got that .gov money.
It's the USO.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Mm-hmm.
When I said my name, you guys gave me a response of, like,
hooray!
Previous people have not done that.
What do you mean?
Like,
your presence
we've learned we have to point at people so they'll do it. Otherwise,
yeah, and just to clarify, you guys did point at me. I was like, okay, of course. But then you guys celebrate, and I was like, do people not?
We celebrate the guests.
Yes.
We want you to feel welcome.
You as an individual, as a person, welcome to this brick walled place.
Me podcast studio, as Sue podcast studio. It is, because we work here.
Is that where your Spanish ends?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
See.
Studio.
Studio.
I'll start off this podcast with straight up honesty. This is so cool for me. This is very cool for all of us. This is special. If you're listening to this, me, Charlie, and Ryan have known each other feels to be 34 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's like
comedy years are like dog years.
They're about,
comedy years are like dog years. How true is that?
I mean, we played the golf Bowling Bush golf tournament together.
Yep.
We've played 4 years in a row?
I believe so. Oof.
And you played once with us.
I played once, and it was right when you were about to start the Colbert Show.
Yeah.
And you were like going to take over afternoons with them, and I was like, dude, you're making like radio history.
Yeah.
In town, and it was like the craziest thing to me.
All of it is super still strange.
It's
and a
cool.
Blur. It's I'll tell you this, there's part of me that feels like almost like a cheat.
Mm.
What do you mean?
I feel like a fraud every single day.
Why? Because you guys are talented and you didn't go to school for it?
No. Mm. It was because we were all in the trenches of stand-up comedy, of bar shows with way too much salt on the bar nuts. Like, those are the rooms, the ones that would trick you into buying beers just so you can buy another
you
Pabst.
The way you need to support the room is get shit-faced on a regular basis?
The house of face. Like, rooms that are just terrible.
I've
done so many hookah lounges.
So many.
With and without microphones, which is always interesting. I've ruined a lot of poetry nights.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, that's things like that. Yeah, you don't get to do standard real comedy a lot.
No.
If I do 5 shows a week, if I do 5 mics a night, I might be doing one that's good.
And yeah, one that's beneficial.
Yeah.
Yes, that makes your heart not hurt, and you're like, yeah, I got something out of it.
But the reason why I feel like a cheat, though, is because I always thought that it would be doing well at those terrible small outlets that would then get to medium outlets, and then that would be the only thing that would accelerate or excel and make it possibly into a career.
Sure.
Right.
In hindsight, now knowing what happened, which was basically someone going, I trust you.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful for that. I trust you. Here are some keys. Don't fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the grind day in, day out. The grind did get it to the point of someone going, here are the keys.
Yeah,
and
the grind got you there.
I recognize that, but it still is that...
There was no middle ground. There was no, I'm doing...
I felt like I skipped, 6 chapters. It was strange, and it was because of... I'll always be forever grateful for Jim. If there's one person who's really...
You listening, Jim?
Yeah. I'll always be... I remember one of the first things I did was buy him a bottle of scotch, and that was the only thing I'll ever buy him, because dude is he's not doing too bad for himself.
Yeah, no. I think he's doing all right.
He's doing all right.
Fine.
But that's I got Russ a bottle of whiskey once, and I was like, meh. This is like, but I like to get gifts.
Yeah. I'm a terrible
It wasn't an expensive whiskey, but it was just like, here, thank you very much.
I'm a good gift giver on, like, the most random people. Like, I have, like, three roommates past remove that I'm like, oh, I crush it.
With that guy?
Wait, it was a girl. It was my friend's
with that
girlfriend.
Girl?
It was my friend's. It was very sister like relationship, okay. I just always crushed it with those gifts.
Was her boyfriend pissed off when you get something better than he would?
No, I don't think I ever did that. I wasn't that successful. His budget was $1.50. I'm dropping like $22.
Yeah. Okay.
Bucks.
Okay. But so in your price range, crushing it.
Yeah, per capita though, I think I smoked it.
Per cap, yeah, bomb.
Per dollar, I smoked it.
I mean, there's times where I'm like last Christmas, I'm just bad at gift giving. I think it's that I want to know that they're going to like my gift so much that I'm just like, do you want this? I'm buying it because you want it.
Yeah,
and it's like it destroys the mystery, yeah, I guess.
That's a telltale sign of a bad gift
giver.
But
I'm like, yeah, what jersey do you want? Okay. You want Aaron Judge? Great. There you go, honey.
I'm an over gift giver. Like, I go too hard in the paint in the gift department. Well, because I feel like if I don't, like, spend a certain amount or get something really nice, I'm like, well, then they know I'm underselling it. But I'm at the same time a terrible gift receiver.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like I have to put on this whole like, oh my god, this is so good. I've always wanted one of these. I'm like, bro, that's just a Hallmark card. Yeah. I know, but it like has words on it.
Look at it though. Yeah. Look, it's like made of paper.
Oh man, what? all of human society got to the point so I could read this card right here.
I'm on record for saying that if you write a card, take the time, nail the spacing. There's nothing worse. Then buying a card, and all of a sudden your word just like, your sentence goes flaccid at the end of it. Yeah. It just womps down.
Or just like, all right, I got enough room for sincerely. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Why is it so bendy?
All of a sudden your font goes from 18 to 6.
Yep.
And it sucks. It looks bad.
And an adult spelling shit wrong, you're like, oh, God, it's not endearing anymore. When I was a kid, it was cute. Ah, fuck. Sincere V? Shit.
Yeah. I get this really bad habit about cards where, like, I get it from my dad and my brothers because they used to roll up to my house and I would see them sitting in the driveway filling
Absolutely.
Out the birthday card.
Absolutely.
Like, very fast. And my dad already has really terrible handwriting. So it would just be this card that I can't read and I would pretend like I'm silently reading and go, thank you so much.
Daddy.
And I do that now to this day.
He's still doing it in the car?
In the car.
Sitting in the driver's seat.
He's now like, I'm in the driver's
Ryan,
seat.
Ryan, here you go. It's
very cats in the cradle.
I coming home?
One of the last gifts I gave my girlfriend, I think it was not this past Christmas, but a Christmas before. She's a big Chelsea Handler fan. I bought her tickets for Chelsea Handler and good seats. I was pretty stoked about it. Dr. Phillips, here we go. Like 3 weeks out, she cancels the show.
Oh.
And then I didn't know what to get her. Like, no, you know, Christmas vibes are gone.
Yeah.
So I just bought her a nice speaker, like a nice portable speaker. And still to this day, I feel really strange.
Here,
like,
you can listen to podcasts with Chelsea Handler and them.
Yeah, you can listen to her.
Yeah. Hey, it's pretty much
Why'd she cancel the show?
I don't remember. I think it was because I just recently heard her talking about like how depressed she was specifically about Trump getting elected, which I was like, okay.
All right. The world didn't end.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the guy. But
I don't need therapy because
of it. At the end of the day, we're still living in a beautiful place and, you know.
The entertainer in me is like, the show's got to go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just roll through it. You know, I could understand if it was like a family member, a pet, or something passed. Okay.
The weirdest part was like how much that changed stand up on what you could do for jokes.
Can't touch politics with a fucking.
Like you, it's when that whole thing started happening, it became so divisive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And to do it in like a bonkers room where the audience isn't necessarily there for you, they're there for comedy.
Yes.
You just split that room, and it was like, oh, well, this is going to be the show.
And the thing was, prior to that, there was this kind of concept that, yeah, everybody doesn't – this guy's just crazy. And then when he got elected, it was like, who here voted for him? Because, like, 2 weeks ago, everybody was just saying he's insane.
Yeah.
And then it was just like nobody said they voted for him. Nobody said they didn't. Or, no, people that didn't were very staunch about not. But it was so strange because while the whole thing was coming up, he was like this dark horse weirdo that people were making great jokes about.
Yeah.
And then when he got elected, it was like, nope.
And that was, and I hate to even feel this way, but there's a, there, those jokes didn't get him elected, but it was like a couple drops of gasoline sure. to the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. The, not being taken seriously mm-hmm. definitely yeah. made that fan base go, we'll show you something.
Like, yeah, we'll show up at the polls.
It really motivated yeah. it. Trump and comedy is what that's. We could talk about Trump and comedy yeah. for this well, entire show.
I think the weird thing was people, like people now are saying how everyone's so mean to him. It's like, do you guys remember the shit that you guys were saying about Obama the instant he was, you remember
wild.
You remember the White House meme that came out? It was like, holy shit, this should not be like as widely acceptable or posted on Facebook or anything. It was like, guys, come on.
It's always weird because like for me that level of government, though I know it affects me mm-hmm. like it doesn't affect me as
so
much as like
away.
Like a county commissioner.
Yeah, you know, so like, far away.
But we don't go hard at the mayor.
Buddy Dyer.
Yeah, like I don't even know who the mayor of my town is currently right now.
Oh yeah, because you're APK. I don't know.
Yeah, no idea. It was the same guy for a long time, and then it wasn't.
And then
now
it
who
Regina
is
Regina Hill now?
It's a raccoon.
It's a raccoon.
It's a raccoon.
Hate raccoons.
Always digging through my trash.
I do have a portion of my headlining set that when I put in the joke book, it says politics. Mm-hmm. But what I take a lot of pride in is that it's like it's three bits and they're just gigantic pump fakes.
Yeah.
Of making like one of them starts off political and ends up being about Cartoon Network and mm-hmm. Spanish people saying Mojo Jojo, pronouncing Mo Ho 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 Ho. Like, and I take so much pride in going like, y'all assholes were puckering up for a quick
yeah,
second.
Right?
Mm. I'll even sometimes say that, like, freaked you guys out. You guys thought we were going there.
I had one about Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah.
Like I would open up with like, you know, recently the people's voices weren't heard in a very important thing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, the boat wasn't called Bodie McBoatface, and that's bullshit. And people are like, what the hell? And the whole thing about Bodie McBoatface being a real boat still, it is the underwater vessel of the Sir Richard Attenborough.
Yeah. Yeah. And then didn't they name the lifeboat Bodie or something?
It's the submersible.
Yeah, here's the thing. People are going to still recognize that and be like, yo, that's Bodie McBoatface.
Absolutely.
Give the people what they want. Yeah. I feel like the damage is already done.
I mean, but they've...
Yeah, name the submersible Sir Richard Attenborough.
Right.
You know, of I the Bodie McBoatface.
I mean, Sir David Attenborough is kind of a badass.
Like, yeah, no, he is.
He's one of my favorite, the animal facts thing. He's one of my guys.
But that's not democracy, which is crazy to say.
But I mean, England isn't a democracy; it's a parliament.
Well, they voted on it.
Yeah. Well, the internet is a childish goon.
Was it a government-funded vote?
It was some like
the internet is one
show.
Giant kid going, "Don't tell me what to do."
Yeah, I'm going to do the opposite because you said no, and I said no. Like, it was a radio guy that was like, "We need to vote," and then they were like. Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface.
And like some of the other names were like Bodimus Prime and like there was one that was like Sharon's kid's a bitch or something. It was like a completely did not make any.
We need
it did not make any sense to
that's
name
awesome.
It. It was like, how did that get so many votes?
I'm definitely team Bodie McBoatface because we need more serious, silly stuff in the world.
Like
it's the name of a ship. Hell yeah.
The British, like the United Kingdom does a lot of that shit because they had Gritty McGritface, which was a snowplow. They had Fairy McFairyface, which was a fairy in Australia.
I want to name our warships like cute things. Like, I don't want it to be like the SSS Mississippi, you know, well, or the USS. But like, just like a here comes a Tickle Monster. Tickle Monster's gonna get you.
Rain and death. Tickle Monster.
I've always wanted to name a ship the SS. SS. I just always thought four S's.
The USS SS.
Yeah, just tons of S. So many S's.
The USS Reverb.
It ends up being
the USS
like
SS.
A graphic design on the boat. Like,
just around it.
Cool tribal.
You got an armband,
detail work.
Got an armband tattoo on a fucking yeah, my aircraft carrier.
Most bro aircraft carrier.
I'm an affliction. Like, I have an affliction sail.
Yeah. It's bedazzled
say,
and shit.
Yeah. What'd you say, bro? America's gonna bring some freedom.
There's a tiger.
It's got a Von Dutch cap on the top.
Von Dutch.
Just perched up there. Yeah.
It's not even cool anymore. I don't care.
Well, they do have the McCool is coming out, which is a fun last name.
The McCool?
Yeah, it's the McCool. The something McCool. But it's a American ship.
All right.
Well, that one's cool.
I'm fine with that, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Sounds like someone that would smoke cigarettes.
Make war funny again.
It's Abram McCool. Yeah, that guy's awesome. He smokes camels. And he probably will if he's a warship.
So, oh my God.
Going back to Trump and comedy, you were saying that that especially in a bunker room, they don't know who you are, and
yeah,
then you
right.
show up. I feel comfortable saying that I'm not a Trump fan, but I also feel comfortable saying like I would never make a Trump joke for that simple reason. I haven't even heard it put like that, but you nailed it because in my mind, perception like the audience is a small miracle by itself, and I will treat if an audience member was like, "Yo, my foot itches," I'd be like, "Player, I got you." Like I bend the knee so much to the audience that I would never do a Trump joke, but. If that audience all of a sudden was a big fan of yours.
Yeah.
Then right? you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Then you can do whatever you want.
If you get him in, you're like, fuck yeah, I'm taking risks. Let's do this.
But
let's get real weird.
The flip side of that, though, is that maybe what brings them in is the non-Trump thing. So
yes.
then, so there's that yeah. argument, too.
That's a double-edged sword.
Like, you're not going to go out to Ocala and be like, oh, Trump.
Yeah, and I just think it's like. No,
that's a low-hanging fruit of comedy.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
Became low. I was about to say low-hanging, but I also think that I've heard plenty of great Trump jokes still that
oh,
have
sure.
brought me much
for
joy.
Sure.
Mm.
For sure.
And recently, I would say. Every time it still gets brought up, I still find it very entertaining. But I also know that's me.
Yeah.
There's still so much of this country, and I still will weigh humanity and being a human over tenfold what your political party is.
Like, I think with our audiences, like you were saying, that they're there for comedy, not for us. That it is so true in that, you know, when you perform with Dimitri.
Yeah.
It was like, they were there to see Dimitri fucking Martin.
Yeah.
Like you were there, they loved you, but they were there to see him. And whereas for bonkers rooms, it's like,
no idea.
We just came to see whoever they dubbed funny.
Mm-hmm.
And hello, hey.
He was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah. Hey, was he?
Yeah. They didn't even see the set.
I'm on VH1.
We'll talk about credits because I don't know how people do that. I could not.
Straight up lie about their credits?
I mean, not even straight. I can't even say. A lot of the time, it's not a straight-up lie. But I do think it is like 1,000% exaggeration.
Well, like I could say I've been on MTV because I was in a music video, but as like an assistant kickball coach.
Yeah, I've been on both America's Got Talent and American Idol just in a camera passing by shot.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
like does that make it valid? No.
And that's what people and a lot of comedians do, and it just is nails on a board to me. I can't do it.
Like, thinking about it and going, I was in a Chrysler Pacifica commercial because I parked the car because Jim Gaffigan couldn't.
Yeah, and that was on a bunch of channels.
Yeah,
so
that was on
are you
every channel.
Quote
I
that
am on NBC, CBS,
yeah.
ABC,
what
Fox.
Show were you on? It was a Honda commercial.
All of them. It was Chrysler Pacifica. I was at a tennis court.
I guarantee you there's one actor out there that's had that exact conversation.
Oh, yeah.
What show are you on? What were you on?
Usually,
Honda commercial.
Usually when they ask, you just kind of go like, yeah, oh, yeah, you saw me. Yes. Yeah.
I did it once. Someone, I forgot what booker asked for it, and I have been on local television telling a full stand-up joke.
Yeah.
Granted, it's like 12 words.
Yeah.
And it was just, my name is Ross, spell like sauce, I'm on top of things, bring the flavor, with the whole act out. Which an old opener.
Hey.
This, see, you can still hear myself selling it to myself.
Yeah, like,
I still, and then I said I seen on Fox, and that was the only time I did it because I was like, man, I'm fucking lying to myself. That's
but
not.
You were there.
You were on Fox. Hey, it was Fox 35.
And
yeah,
and I will say you are far funnier than many people. Where you're like, oh, this guy was on.
Couldn't do it.
Well, there used NCIS. To be that show. What was that show that was on Fox 35 where, like, it was, like, local comedians chiming in on news stories?
Yeah.
And they would film themselves with, like, their crappy cell phone camera responding
the
to things.
The cell phone camera at the time, it was like, how are you so grainy? I didn't know they had a a 3-pixel thing or less, just watching this grainy face, like, you know? That was the sound, too.
Well, that's like, okay, my favorite, though, is a comedy poster I'm currently on right now, and I'll talk shit about it, because why not? so I got put on this show at the Orlando Improv.
That's tomorrow, or today, or...
We're both on it.
We're both on
Ross
it.
Okay.
And they make this poster on their own. Like, they never... I hate comedy posters, because I never get a say in them.
There's so much going on that poster.
I never get a say in them, which is very frustrating. So if you're going to use my face, like, run it by me and go, hey, is this cool? Because this one I wasn't a huge fan of. And they start to list their own credits on this poster for, like, the headline. But it's impossible to read. And if you want to see it, you can go to my Facebook. But it says...
the show will have been over, right?
It just says, like, Clive Barker said he was, good. Like, all right.
Yeah, I think that's illegal or something.
It's,
I don't know. It's just like.
It's very.
I mean, no one's going to call you out on it, but.
But it's.
Well, no, he used to work with Clive Barker.
What?
Yeah.
Who? Ryan?
No, whoever's putting on the show.
Oh.
So it's just. And it's a horrible poster. It's hard to read, and it's like. Look, the kids knew it making posters, I'm sure. But, like, if you're going to make a poster for anything. Run it by the talent and be like, hey, is this cool? Are we good?
Hold on.
What?
Time out.
What?
Take a second.
We'll be right back. And we're back. Welcome back to Poking the Bear, the podcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Charlie Bowie.
Well, I'm Ross Padgett. Why Poking the Bear? I bet you that I'm not alone. There's got to be a lot of people who know Poking the Bear. Has this been heavily explained? I'm guilty of not listening before. In a long time. I listened to, like, the first two.
So the story of it was... We were trying to find a name.
Mm-hmm.
For one, we wanted a podcast name that wasn't... Like, I think we were going to go with the Podfathers, but then it was like... There were like 700 of them, or maybe not 700, but, you know,
was quite
hyperbole,
a
lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like... I decided, let's all just write names. Just throw names into a pot, throw them out there, put them in there... And you wrote a bunch of names. I wrote a bunch of names. And, you know.
Another guy wrote a bunch of
names. No, he didn't.
Did he not?
He didn't.
Oh.
but so we were just going through all of these. And then we also wanted to find. It couldn't have a. We didn't want a Twitter that had it. And we didn't want
to. Yeah, we wanted to be able to have the same login for everything.
And we. It is what it is. But
and we lost the email login.
Yes.
And the Twitter login.
I have it.
Do you?
Yes. Email us at pokingthebear1@gmail.com.
What about the Twitter? Yeah, see that I knew we lost one of the logins.
We lost one of them. But essentially
we're very professional.
Essentially it was just we were just throwing shit at the wall, hoping something stuck.
Oh, I like poking the bear.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed the name. I've just always thought, like, is it an acronym? Is it? I've just looked way far into
no.
it.
No. It sounds like an anti-Russia podcast.
Well, and it's sort of like you know, the phrase, don't poke the bear.
Yeah, that's why, like, yeah, don't poke the bear, and then you guys are poking the bear.
Yeah.
You guys are rebels.
Well, there used to
in the world of metaphors.
And there used to be a guy who was the bear that we poked.
Yeah.
And then now we just, the bear is life.
Yes.
So, Ryan, there's no way I'm going to not be on your podcast and not bring up there's a huge disagreement between you and me.
What's that?
Puns.
What? I know you stand on the absolutely adore them. You don't?
Don't,
not a fan?
No, I
heard you make some the other day.
Here's the thing. I do think that there is a case and a time and place for puns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think it gets really, like, up in the air of going, was that a pun? And if you ever go and think, was that a pun, and it was still funny, I would like to think that it wasn't a pun.
Just out of you in your world.
If you think it's funny because you can't laugh at a pun.
I'm too harsh on puns. I am too harsh on puns. Mm-hmm. It's like my Sam Worthington. I don't like Sam Worthington as an actor. I'm sure he's a great guy, but everything he's ever been in, I've just been like,
don't like him.
I just can't do it.
It's an easy form of comedy. It's probably one of the easier forms of comedy if you're
good at it.
But if you're good at it, it can add some nice nuance. I wouldn't have a whole 45 of puns. That would be obnoxious. But like in a game setting where like you do the pun slinger thing.
Oh, it's the worst at that.
Where it's like a pun game. I enjoy that. I enjoy a turn of phrase. Playing with the language, because there's a lot in comedy that are puns, but they're just long, exaggerated puns that aren't the easy ones to get to.
Another one reason why I'm like, how puns? This is the argument that I'm like, when you're talking about like a good pun, a great pun.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's too good, and good puns to me take almost too long to absorb, and then when you absorb it,
so
it either gets a huh or a
They get a lot of applauses more than laughs.
Yeah.
It's almost like a magic trick.
That was agreeable. Well done.
I don't know. Everything is subjective, which is why I feel comfortable even having this. I always come from a place of going to each their own.
My comedy started off, like, really started off, other than reading like a George Carlin book when I was way too young. Was a lot of English comedy, like a lot of like British stuff, Eddie Izzard's and various other comics, where they do a lot of wordplay and puns and stuff, and I think that had a bigger impact on me than I realized, because they're all about snarky wordplay a lot of times.
Yeah,
so let's elaborate on that, because you probably guarantee you know more about this than I do. When it comes to wordplay and puns, you said those two things. I would say those are two different things.
But they do come together.
Puns are underneath the umbrella of wordplay.
It's underneath the umbrella of wordplay.
I feel like earlier when you were saying about how
it's like you have
hip hop
and you got your trap music underneath, and you got your whole thing's essentially hip hop, and then you got your various genres of the such. Puns are I would say it's the easiest one you to come to, because the problem with a good pun, the real problem with it, is if it takes a lot of intelligence to get there, but when you say it, it seems like the easiest thing to get to. A lot of times. Like, a pun seems like the most obvious thing, but if it was, you wouldn't be going, oh, or whatever voice, because a lot of puns, you'll get your ha-has, but it's a lot of, oh.
Yeah, that's...
Or like a, ooh.
That was funny.
Hmm, I get that. Mm.
Yeah. And
did he just say what?
I guess that's the reason why I'm like, I have said puns.
Sure.
Let that be known. I'll be on record.
You're not saying I've never done that. I would never.
I would, yeah. I'm
never.
Definitely not doing that, because I also think that, you know, everything that I do in front of a mic is my perception of the best thing I can do for this audience.
Yeah.
My best interpretation of it. And at times, if I trust my gut, best advice I got in this comedy game is saying just trust yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes I trust myself.
A little
and
too
that
much.
Rendition of trust myself is a pun. And every now and then, it's just puns. They get me. I just don't know why I'm like.
One pun that I have in my set, like, it's on the whale joke, and Kevin White gave it to me. He was like, say they made a new show on Netflix called Orange is the New Blackfish. Yeah. It's like about a whale jail. And it's like, it gets like a.
So tell me this. And now this is when we get. What is that a pun? I feel like I can make an argument saying that is in fact not a pun.
It's just wordplay.
Let me go to the pun master.
Go to the pun master.
The pun god.
Orange is the New Blackfish is sort of a pun. That is a pun. Whale jail's wordplay.
Oh, well, I don't say whale jail.
Oh.
No, like it's just at the end of the joke I say.
A pun is like like if I was doing like jokes about food, I'd be like, I corn stand you. Or like, see, there's that version of like a bad, easy to go to.
We should
one.
Stop doing this.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Hey, did you not like that? Hey, did you not like that? See, they're visceral. They hurt you. It's comedy pain. It's comedy BDSM. It's what it is.
It's like a dad joke.
No,
it,
I like
it's a little dad.
It is a dad joke.
Now the dad jokes are getting so popular, and it's like, yeah, because they were funny. Like as a little kid, your dad was very funny, and it just was like, you didn't like it because he was uncool.
You know, he
was just, you know, that old guy. Mm-hmm. You love him, but now it's like, that is actually pretty clever.
Yeah, and dad jokes get better the father time goes on.
We've got God.
There it is.
This is just like,
look at what you did, bro.
Why look at what I just want to break. I just want to break shit right now. Like I don't know why is this time glass? I'm going to shatter this thing.
Watch your sunglasses.
Oh, break those. I'm about to break something.
You see what he did? You see what you did?
See, I understand a bad pun, and I like a bad pun in the way of, like, yeah, like, you know how you're, like, gonna pull a prank on somebody? Say you're, like, hiding behind a door, and you're gonna scare somebody, uh-huh. right?
Okay.
And you get that feeling inside of you, like, ooh, I'm gonna get him.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's, like, a bad pun for me. I get that, like, ooh, there it is! You know, like, a, oh.
Oh, man. I just think...
I think... Comedy sometimes is just like I like anti-comedy. I like it like the not being funny is funny to me.
When I see a bad pun, is it like the same likeness of like The Room or Plan 9 from Outer Space, movies that are so historically bad that they end up turning around full circle
sure.
and being entertaining?
Like it's so ugly, it's cute type thing.
Yeah,
like where it's like, oh, it's that puppy's
disgusting. It's the pug of comedy.
What, like, dude, is it just me, or are all those dodo videos just like, you adopted a dog that is mutilated? Just like the potato cat, or like the dog that doesn't have legs, and you're like, you're a good person.
Is that also the potato dog?
There's a cat that this lady called Potato, and it's like this big. And
it has no legs?
It has little tiny legs. It's this little nugget of a thing.
I would say the dog with no legs is more potato-like.
I'd agree. But like, just watching them, and you're like, how do you find these things? Like, where are you looking for this dog that was half caught on fire? You know?
It's still on fire.
It's still on fire.
I adopted
put
it
out.
When it was on fire.
And now I'm making this internet video so people can go, oh, that Tina's a good person.
Then and only then can you really say you rescued your dog.
Yeah. I put him out with water.
I put him out with water.
And rescued him.
He was a little frightened at first from the splash, but then he started loving me.
I'm so happy we had a pun conversation with mics in front of you. You got to do that. We have to advertise it like that.
Yeah,
that's the Facebook post is that Ross and Ryan finally talk about their awkward disagreement.
Yeah, two warring states have come together after talks.
Mornings are for buns, you idiot.
They almost come for a truce.
Yeah, yeah. But they came to a tentative truce.
Yes. I will always recognize that comedy is subjective. Everything's subjective. Fucking kids are subjective. A mom loves their kid. I can still look at that kid and be like, that's a steaming pile of shit of a kid, man.
There are so many ugly, ugly babies.
Your kid sucks. It's ugly. I'll even go as far as, like, I've met kids with terrible personalities.
Mm-hmm.
What, this
little jerks.
That's the hardest part of doing comedy now on the radio for 5 hours if you try to go for a joke. Because sometimes it's feeling it out. It's, cause sometimes it's just a conversation. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, what are we talking about? And then if you go for the joke, I don't want my joke to hit everybody that's listening.
No.
I don't. And I'm going to see it in the texting service. And it's going to come back like, this kid sucks. And it'll go back and forth like, that was so funny. This person sucks. Yeah. The most hilarious thing I've heard all day. Yeah. You're awful. And it's like, yeah. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need to be for everybody because the for everybody are the people I don't like y'all that much.
Like, one of those jokes that came out was you guys were talking about, like, some commercial in New Zealand where they were eating a cheeseburger with chopsticks,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, would that offend you, Ryan? And you were like, if there was a commercial in China where they were using forks, would they flip out? And it was just so funny to me because, like, I'm just seeing a family of Chinese people just like for no reason with a full cheeseburger on a fork.
Yeah.
It was like, no, they shouldn't be offended, but someone is. So, I don't know.
I mean, being offended is also another one. Everything is subjective. I'll keep saying that.
Yeah.
I guess this is the name of the podcast.
And I feel like offense has become like so much more prevalent. Like being offended. I mean, it's almost like
that's your personality. And like, look, I have a personality because I'm offended.
Yeah. Like
this is what's special about me. I'm offended.
This is my hill to die on. I'm going to be offended at everything, and I'm going to be mad about things that have no real reason to be mad at.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is my personal bias, but I think comedians should be completely immune from all of this. Like, if a government official says something terrible shit, that guy has real power. That's awful. Keep that guy in check.
Yeah.
But if I'm making a joke, and you know I'm there to make a joke. And you know full well going in that this is a joke. Shut up.
Yeah, but then we'd get stuck with politicians coming and doing open mics so they could get their shit across. And be like, oh, no, I'm just saying, you know, like children don't deserve things because they don't pay taxes. I'm just joking around.
That's really funny, Trevor.
What's the deal with tax reform?
Just politicians crash open mics because...
You know what really needs to
happen?
That's
how they get votes.
Oil pipelines. That's what needs to happen. I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
That's hysterical.
Fucking assholes.
There was this kid who... there was a grown-ass man. There was this dude who was... he's an actor. And at the time, I was dating this girl. And he was just a racist, misogynistic douche. But he would say he was a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
And he would say this horrible shit. And when people call him on it, he'd be like, I'm a comedian. I'm like, I'm just making jokes.
I'm happy that you bring that up because that is the flip side of the argument.
Yeah.
It's because they didn't ruin it for everybody. But at the end of the day, words are always going to matter in some shape or form.
What? And we've all seen the misogynist, the racist come in and drop some shit. And it's like,
whoa,
no, that's not cool. You can't say that. Well, I can say whatever. Yeah, you can say whatever, but there's repercussions.
Yeah.
I can tell you you are a piece of shit for saying really horrible things.
I'm happy that there hasn't been like a raging, successful hate speech comic.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm aware of, like, truly, like...
Well, they don't call themselves comedians. They call themselves clan leaders.
But
like a Mayo Yiannopoulos
kind of
thing.
That guy's an ass.
But at least he's not selling out shows. Like theater, Broadway, like, Hollywood hasn't been like, this is entertainment.
He was up until he did that, pederasty. Like he talked about him having a relationship with an older man, and it was like, oh, no, you can't be cool with, you know, child molestation because that's what happened, and then say that that's how, you know.
Yeah, but you're not going to see, like, tonight at 9 on ABC, Jeff the Racist.
Yeah. And then
boop, boop.
I would not be surprised, though, at, like, next 5,
after
10
Black-ish.
Years.
After Black-ish.
After 5, 10 years, I would not be shocked if I saw that.
Coming up next at 9 on ABC, Brick by Brick. It's the show about Tony working on the wall.
just having a real... You were saying it was like it's a show, jokes are jokes, but I still think that, like, there are those low open micers, and all it takes is for someone to find that audience to go, like, I really like hate speech comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Capitalism fucking takes
That's
it.
That's the guy.
And then it's it happens. I would not be surprised in 10 years if we saw
I think it'll stop that. What would stop a hate speech comedian is most stand-up comedy takes place in kind of, like, left places.
They do.
Like, what? A hard left
And
place generally. You don't see many right-wing open mics.
The bars or coffee shops would be like, well, we're either canceling comedy or that kid's never coming back.
I completely agree. But that just means that it's like oil waiting to get tapped into because everybody enjoys comedy. And someone's going, capitalism's going to have
It is oil waiting to be tapped
into. Someone's going to capitalize and then just rip it.
Some racist 23-year-old is going to be headlining. Ugh.
And it's going to be a very controversial thing. And he's going to sell out shows, and it's going to be weird.
There was one show I did when I first started. It was at the Improv, and it was like the urban late-night Thursday show. And this guy I had never met before, he came in and dropped the N-word, like hard R, four or five times to a full house.
Mm-hmm.
And they removed him out the back because there were people hanging out front to kick this guy's ass. It was like, no, that is just proof. You can say whatever you want, but understand there's repercussions, you know?
Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was rapping at another bar. And I'm pretty sure I said it. Not gonna lie.
It just went to, oh, whoa.
I said it. And it wasn't like outside on the bar. Like, I was on stage. mic in my hand.
You're like,
And well, the good news is that, like, it happened so fast, so quick that I don't think the audience really soaked it in. And this is gonna sound crazy, but I got away with it because it was like middle. It wasn't it wasn't like the end of a rap lyric. It wasn't that.
Well, and also, for one, charming, goofy, you know, and you were rapping well.
Yeah, I did go into it going, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to, here we go.
Here
bar four. We know what we're ending with.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I'm going to chase the biggest holy grail for a white comedian. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, my God.
Michael Richardson.
In all the years doing comedy, count on both hands, how many times I've talked to a quote-unquote comedian, open micer, that goes, dude, I think I can get away with saying it. Like, yeah, I got this really great joke, and I'm pretty sure I can do it. And I'll go, no, you definitely can't. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You should No, I think I can. I think I can.
I can pull it off.
And then they go on stage, and they do it.
And you're like.
And half the time, they're like, see, that went well.
No,
and I was like, what?
No.
How do you not see what everybody else just saw?
You were just standing there in sheer silence. Yes, you didn't get beat up or booed.
Yeah.
But everyone was just like, nope. Mm-mm.
People are uncomfortable, man.
Yeah.
Four people are now sweating.
And it's all the white people. we supposed to be mad?
We've been meaning to get lunch for such a long time, Ryan Holmes.
Yeah.
You're the most tired person that
I work
now.
A lot.
I don't know why or how you do that 6 a.m.
Six,
madness.
Four in the morning.
Dude, listening to you when they did the April Fool's thing, you were just like, oh, my God.
I was one and done. I had, like, 2 hours of being really awake.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first 2 hours.
That's my morning. And then I'll wake back up that last hour.
And then coffee. And then coffee just goes away. And then I just feel like my pigment get whiter. The bags around my eyes start to swell. And I remember at, like, 9, I just was like, I just want to sleep. Yeah. Like, I'm cranky now. I'm a different person on this show.
Well, that's the thing that sucks, too, is it sucks out my morning, but it also takes away my night at the same time.
That's my biggest concern. I'm worried for you for that reason.
Yeah.
Because the nighttime deserves Ryan Holmes.
And it straight up does suck a little bit because I can't hit mics unless it's Friday or Saturday. But because of all the other stuff I'm going, that's the day I spend with my lady. Mm-hmm. So we hang out then, and I tend not to drag her to an open mic or whatever now.
That's a shit boyfriend move.
Yeah.
So it's become rough. It's like, well, okay, real talk is I feel less funny now than when I started because I don't have any way to, like, Or just a new way. Yeah, to test things out, or like to write or figure out the like a schedule on how to like work at this new thing, which is its own version of comedy, but it's not the same comedy that I'm used to. Yep. And the pressure of that, of being like 5 days a week, and then on like say you kill and you just like great 5 hours, all cylinders are firing. Good luck, buddy, because that's Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then you got fucking Wednesday, Thursday, yeah, and Friday to go.
Yeah.
It's rough. I'm super happy for it. I haven't quite figured it out yet. Like really, mm-hmm, like there's day, and a lot of the stuff that works, like the same kind of theme will kind of work. Like I could get away with 1,000 fat jokes,
sure,
every single day, but then I feel bad doing that,
yeah,
too. Cause I really like the people that I work with. So like, throwing roasty shit at them all the time is,
me.
It's a little bit difficult. So then I'll try to find like news stories, and that feels weirdly hacky at the same time. So I just don't know, man. Like I'm hoping one day it'll all click.
Yeah.
Like
same. The only reason I'm not speaking is because it's like 80% the same thing. The only difference is that like I'm not piss tired.
Yeah.
That's the 20% difference.
Yeah. I got a text message, and the funny thing about answering the text messaging service, like we got a YouTube chat that's constantly running. Everybody's pretty nice and pretty civil in that one. But the text messages will send something horrible and just absolute, yeah, shitty. At like, so the other morning it's like 6:14 in the morning. I've been on for 14 minutes. I've been awake for 40. You know, and then this one text comes in and goes, "This is the least funniest comedian I've ever heard." And I was just like, text back. I don't normally respond. I'm like, "You be funny at 6:14 in the morning, you dick." And then he messages back. He's like, fair point.
I didn't realize that I was going to get a message back.
That texting service is wild. Why do you think the YouTube channel is more positive than the texting service?
For one, you're not anonymous.
Yeah.
So I've met a lot of the people.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. And I've met a lot of people in the YouTube chat. And even if somebody like starts to disagree in the YouTube chat, I'll hit them back. I'll talk to them while I'm there, and I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. I have a valid point. If you don't have to like me, you don't have to like me." And they're like, "Cool. That's cool. Whatever. You're actually a pretty good dude."
Oh, wow. So look at that. Wow.
It's this weird visceral hate messages from anonymous sources, and it tends to be like the same five people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't memorize numbers.
They don't really tell you that day one. No training.
Did you get any orientation or any kind of like? No, I got nothing. I literally no words I can or can't say. Nothing. Just I took a brief FCC training.
Did that. It was basically like agreeing to submit. I treated it the same way iTunes agreement.
Yep. I can't do it otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's weird to just get thrown into it. But you guys at least have pre-show meetings, right?
We do have pre-show meetings. And that's also just more of going, what's this about? I know I always walk into that meeting going like, "Yo, this is what I'm thinking about thoughts. Can I get away with it?" Like, I'm going to be going into that meeting going like, "I want to talk about menstrual cycles. What their response
is."
Can we do that? And more importantly, is Jim okay with that? Because I will never forget, and I still look at it as his show. And there's no way I'm going to...
I mean, his name...
It's literally a name.
It's the cover show.
I will always respect that hierarchy. He's definitely earned it, and I always... A lot of times I don't run things by him, but other times where I know that I'm like, let me just make sure. I recognize that this is a little bit
on
out
the fence.
There.
And I
have no problem talking about menstrual cycles for 10 minutes and coming from a place of appreciation and going, "What?" It's from the beginning of time and how nuts it is.
And how I'm glad that I don't have it.
Exactly. And just
awesome.
Going like, I feel bad as a guy. Now we're almost doing the segment. Yes. But just giving him a heads up and going like, "Yo.
Release it before he does."
You say,
"Let's get this thing out.
Let's get it out."
See, that's the good and bad of my position is I don't run anything by anybody ahead of time, which can be good. Uh-huh. And it could be a nightmare.
I've touched the hot stove too many times of not running it by him. I've tried the whole, like, I'm going to surprise him, get that genuine reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've just, it's crashed and burned, I would say, like, half the time. Other half the time was really, really, like...
On, yeah,
yes,
on fire.
It
but
worked, but...
Otherwise...
this job really is so hard to get really good consistency.
Well, and it is live. It's a live radio. Like it's a live radio production.
Yeah.
Yes, it goes out as a podcast, or you can listen back on YouTube and all that. But it is a 3-hour show.
Yeah, I don't
have... It's a 5-hour show.
I don't have any expectation of people listening to the whole thing. Again. Who's going to watch
we have daily hundreds Titanic. Of people that sit and listen to the whole show.
And I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I just... There's so much... The comedian in me and the... Goes like... Economy of words, like... I've taken so much time building this set of stand-up, that live radio, I appreciate the magic of it, but it just is always like this pursuit of perfection that I don't think exists because...
Like with stand-up, we made the thing, and we do the same fucking thing as best as possible.
You get really good
at
it.
You get really solid at doing the same thing over again. You get so good that you make it seem like it's brand new.
Yeah.
And that's our magic. With radio, it is, we're throwing this shit, we're throwing it out here, and if it's good, it's great, and if it's mediocre, it's
man.
And it's like, wow.
I did this entire Ross Thoughts once about my funeral, and I thought it was really funny. I enjoyed it.
Conceptually, I could see how it'd be really funny.
But it
conceptually,
bombed.
I can see how it'd be.
Holy shit, did it bomb. It was... And that was a good moment for me, though, on radio, because I feel like you have to bomb to at least feel, like, what...
You need,
you have to feel it.
You need evil to feel good.
This is... Yeah. I needed to feel a car accident, to what it feels like to not be in a car accident.
Were the rest of the show, were they on board? Were they trying to, like, punch in with it?
No.
Because I know sometimes they punch in, and it's, like I know Deb and Jim and Jack... They'll punch in during your thing. And it's like, okay, cool. But they just were like, well, you're on your own here, funeral guy.
On that one, yes, because I had so much written for it. Like, I don't know. I just was a good cup of coffee, and I just was like, man, this is pretty funny. But this was the part that really was like, oh, man. I went from, like, bombing to just, oh, that's a nuclear bomb. Because the ending of it was that I was going to walk into my own funeral and say, ha ha! Got you. Kill myself. Plot twist. Now you guys are at the funeral. That was the comedy part. That was the comedy part to it of me. Is that?
Good Lord!
Joking, not a funeral. Let's change that.
That was the beginning part. If that's the punchline, Jesus.
That was the ending of it. And man,
goddamn, dude.
That was me just going
so dark for drive time. Man.
I know. At 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh my God, he shot himself.
But at the very least, I'm so happy that there's self-awareness in me that I can recognize, like, yeah, that did not work.
Yeah. I get this bullshit a lot where, like, they'll laugh, but they'll turn off their mics and just leave me hanging in the silence. And that's almost worse because now I know that it's funny, but because they're letting me bomb, it's like,
Come on, fellas. Is the meanest shit I've ever heard. My show would never do that. Deb is the easiest laugh in the world. All I have to do is bring up Shrek, and I'm like, fucking got her. Laughter's contagious. Take that, listeners.
Well, and like, Jack loses it over your shit.
Yeah, like, I can get Jack. Jim's the tough one. Mm-hmm. Jim's always going
to
be
the tough one. I was always trying to make him laugh when he was on the show, because I was like, okay, then that's probably a good... decent joke.
There's one thing I love about having Jim as a boss is that I respect the fuck out of his comedy, and I respect how quick he is, how sharp he is as a comedian, who I take pride in saying, not bad at comedy roasts. I would not want to be in a comedy roast with my boss, and I've never had a boss like that,
I mean,
I appreciate it.
As far as roasts go, I would say Ryan is one
Ryan's great
the,
too.
One of the best roasters in the city.
I know. I'm like, all shook now from my roasting abilities, though.
Why? What was the last one?
It's like a version of, like, I feel like I went too far once. And then now I'm all like, oh, where the fuck is this line at? It seems to move on a daily basis.
I don't want
to
hear the joke, but I am curious of the person. Okay, or I guess I should flip that.
Yeah, hear the joke, not the person.
I don't remember. I don't remember what the joke was, but the look on the person's face
was just
like it was like a sheer like.
You son of a bitch.
Here's the line right here.
Like
boom.
I feel like your ability to roast it like it sounds so silly to say, but there are people that are like, I'm just gonna say the meanest shit possible for roasting. It's like, no, you gotta be funny.
It's gotta
asshole.
Be funny.
You don't just go after someone for their major flaw. You make it funny.
Yeah, you know what's not a good roast joke? You're fat.
Yeah.
That does it. I had one Big Tim joke that I was like, man, this one's pretty rough, which is, Tim, you're going to die. You're going to die. Diabetes, or something. Yeah. You're going to die from diabetes. Yeah. It was a play on words. Definitely not a pun.
That's a pun,
or something like that. I don't think that's not. That's no way. That's a pun, is it?
That's a pun.
I gave it a comedic.
You're gonna die of diabetes. Yeah.
I would say it's a pun. As the curator,
that's a pun.
I gave a comedic pause. After die, I used
but you
the
said
word
diabetes.
It was playing off the word die. I established die.
Diabetes.
All I did was throw.
That's what a pun is. It's a change of a word.
I didn't change the word. Though.
You mushed it into the.
Yeah.
You extended it into another word.
You've become what you hate.
First of all, that is not
the Sith, baby. Come on to the dark side.
That wasn't the original roast joke. And now I will make this. I will defend this. Because all I'm doing, the punchline was saying that you're going to die, give it a break, and then say abetes. Which was just giving a pause after the word of die.
Yeah.
Giving it all what thought was the first. There's no way that's a pun.
That is a pun.
There's no way.
I love how you hate puns so much that you're like, I couldn't have done this.
I would never
stoop to this level.
I have made puns.
I can't believe.
I will be open about I have made puns. I don't make puns stand-up wise.
Yeah.
But talk radio is basically drowning, and you're just looking for
anything to grasp onto. My God. Get off the door, Rose!
Give me some space, bitch! I need some more... just playing the violin in the back.
Yeah, but I haven't done a roast in a very long time.
I haven't done one.
They're not gratifying to me, though.
I feel like it's just so much effort to write jokes you're only going to use for one time.
You just described both of our jobs.
Yeah, and it is hard.
You just did it right on the money there, Charlie.
I mean, roast just kind of throws.
Are you writing for your show?
I do, and it's a mixture. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time because what I've learned is that you have to make use of the cat. Like, it would be silly of me not bantering works.
Yeah.
And if it's my topic, then it's still going to be – I feel very – I love the idea of everybody being involved in thoughts. And then there are some times where it's like, no, this thing specifically has a beginning, middle, and end. I do write for it, but it's more bullet points than anything.
Yeah.
I find that interesting because, I almost, sometimes I'll throw out a topic, at the beginning of a segment, and I'm like, and it goes well, and I'm like, that's my segment. We're done. I don't have to do another one. That's my segment. We're good.
Take it.
And I can never do that. But it's like sometimes it's like my segment's not going to be better than that.
Yeah, I crushed at 7:30. I don't need to do 10:15.
I know what solid gold looks like, and that's that. And
can you just be like, hey, playback 7:15 to 7:20?
Yeah,
crushed.
Well, we're gonna go best of for this next segment.
Yeah. I
and just have Mystery Science Theater. Yeah. So you guys are still talking over how funny the thing was earlier in the day?
And the other thing is, if I have – I stopped writing the beginning, middle, end stuff because my stuff would start getting talked over about and then it would never get to where it's going. And maybe it found something else that was kind of funny and you move on. And I found myself just writing all of this stuff that just never got used. And I was like –
I'll just write beginning.
Really
well, to that I would say, A, you have tomorrow, and you can find some sort of way to incorporate whatever didn't get used into another segment, as long as it wasn't super topical. And even then, I think you still got like a couple days.
Yeah, a couple days.
Recently, you know what I did? I said I did a whole segment, a small portion of the segment about the Hawaii missile thing. Just going, guys, enough time has passed. Let's really appreciate fucking funny that was.
Where they press the button?
Yeah, like a comedy or tragedy plus time equals comedy or whatever. It's like enough time has passed. That was wild.
The entire state closed.
And I had that idea on paper for, I would say, like a couple weeks. Did I think it was great? No. But I still think it was entertaining, and I fulfilled the job for that segment.
Mm.
It is wild, though. It's crazy. It makes us both really happy. I know it makes me really happy of just seeing Ryan Holmes on 104.1. It's super cool. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely weird still. I keep waiting for this like newness, weirdness to wash off, and it doesn't seem to come
yet.
What,
the new job thing where you're like, I'm new here. I got my lunch pail.
Like every day I expect to hit the little thing that opens the doors and it goes, you know, like, now.
Nope.
It's fun, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast and coming to the side of the building that you've never been to before.
I go to like four rooms in this entire million-dollar building. This has not been one of them, but I really enjoyed the fake bricks.
There's all kinds of secret places in this whole thing. And
also,
the
bricks are huge. I haven't really appreciated
They're
that
huge,
yet.
And I obsess on this middle thing that doesn't line up correctly of the brick wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
Now you won't be able to unsee it.
I can't unsee
it. It's like the arrow in FedEx.
Well, it bothers me because
that ruined me too.
Yeah.
What happened was, it's actually the wall. Somebody put the wallpaper like at a V at the top. So like at the top, it lines up just fine. Yeah. And the further you go down, the worse it gets. I don't know what kind of drunk ass wallpaper did this, man.
Oh, man.
It's just pronounced wallpaper.
Wallpapist.
Wallpapist.
Wallpaperman.
Yeah, wallpapist. Anything you want to plug?
As soon as we're done recording this, I'm going to show you guys this new sketch. If Florida was a country, this thing has driven me nuts. It's like 98% done. There's only going to be like two or things that no one will have noticed that I changed, but
and that's what matters.
Driven me nuts, and it's going to be coming out, I would think, like the top of May, maybe. Just because I would like to release like a couple ads for it and commercials. So if Florida was a country and Orlando Fringe, they have given me a gigantic honor once again that they gave me last year. I am the host of Tonight at Midnight, which is just a late night talk show. I get to complete my wildest dream of being like Johnny Carson and walking out with a suit, monologue.
Nice.
Are you doing any shows?
Nope, that's it. Or comedy shows, stand-up comedy shows?
I mean, like, art, was it art? What was the, you were the dog? What was the name of that?
Oh, no, I will not be, Vincent was the name of that show. But, yeah, no, Fringe is amazing. It's super groovy. And Tonight at Midnight, I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the Fringe. It's a two-week-long festival.
Cool.
And the show's at midnight. And it's a rager. People can drink. It's really, really, really fun.
Sweet. I'll check that out.
Cool, man.
I got some tricks up my sleeve for this year, so I'm really stoked about that.
Nice. Charlie?
I'm going to be at Boardwalk Bowl the 26th and 27th and Winter Circle sometime in May.
All right. And I'll be at the Orlando Improv Wednesday night. Check out the poster. And I'll be at Winter Haven.
Yeah, I'm also on that.
Yeah, Ross is on that. Are you there on Thursday, too?
No.
Oh, okay.
What show's Thursday?
I don't know. I thought I saw something. Never mind. It's fine. And then I'll also be on a show with Ross next weekend. Go to winterhavenlaughs.com to get tickets for that. Winter Haven Laughs, it's a cool theater. It's going to be us and the Real Laughs guys, and it'll be a lot of fun. So thanks for listening, everybody. Check out Poking the Bear, the podcast, the movie, The Group, and like us on Facebook, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Mike, we out.